Glory to God. If you have a look at Galatians chapter 3, thank you for your cards and your gifts. I came in this morning and there was a nice little gift in my office. And I felt it. And it's my best gift. There are two cans of sardines. I don't know why. Maybe it's the way I was brought up. But I would just rather eat canned fish than real fish. I like fish. I like seafood. But I like herrings. I like sardines. I like pilchards. I just like canned fish. All right? I just thought I'd let you know. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3. This only I want to learn from you. Verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Never be tired of hearing faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this great God of glory has decided that the way you transact things in His kingdom is by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's even impossible to try and understand the love of God without faith. Hallelujah. The love of God, the Bible says that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. That you may comprehend the length and the depth and the width and the height. And the love of Christ which surpasses understanding. So the love of God surpasses your understanding. And the only way you can grapple with that is by faith. Because it's beyond your imagination. It's beyond any. That's why many times when you tell people they're going through a hard time, God loves you, they say, yeah, but. Why? Because you have to contend with that lack of understanding. You have to contend by faith. And unless you walk down the avenue of faith, it's very, very difficult to grapple with the awesome love of God. Hallelujah. Christmas is the demonstration of that love. And when we decorate Christmas trees, we need to understand that God's greatest gift to us came to us hanging on a tree. And that demonstrates the love of God for us. Now, we shared a little bit last week about God testing our faith. Sometimes the elements test our faith. And the contrast of what we know naturally and what the Bible says sometimes is a great conflict. And the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. If there's no fight to faith, the Bible will not tell you. But there is a fight to faith. The devil wants to rob you of your faith. He will pick up the Word of God that is sown in your heart, regardless of where it's sown, whether it's the side of the road, whether it's on rocky soil, whether it's on a soil with thistles, whether it's on good ground. The enemy is out to destroy and kill and mess up your faith. And you have to stand your grounds, understanding your God and knowing His Word. Hallelujah. Solomon said, nothing has changed. We may have technology, we may have all those things, but ultimately, nothing has changed. The same thing that happened yesterday is going to happen tomorrow. If you want to be bored, just live. Hallelujah. You had steak yesterday, you have it today, you have it tomorrow. You had burgers yesterday, you have it today, you have it tomorrow. Had coffee yesterday, you have it today, tomorrow. It doesn't matter. Whatever, you repeat. And yet many times when it comes to the things of God, you go, church is boring. Life is boring. Unless you know the author of life. Because there's nothing new under the sun. And the wisest man that ever lived said, what was, is, what is, will be. There is nothing new. Everything's changed, but nothing is different. Everything's different, but nothing has changed. Hallelujah. Are you okay? How did I get to that? Was it all right? Glory to God. So never get tired of the hearing of faith. And we said, your faith is tested by the elements because God will say one thing, you say another. Life says, this is the way it is. God says, no, it's not. My ways are, and my thoughts are, hallelujah. Amen. Now, I've studied a lot. I'm still studying. My children said to me, why do you study so much? Why do you study so much? I said, so I can refute the stupidity of people that are edumacated and try to interpret the Bible academically. And believe you me, there's a lot of that. I said, I can refute that without a degree. But they won't listen to me if I don't have a degree. So I study so that I can have something so I can stand and say, that is not correct. When we were doing the bill of a same-sex marriage, we sat with a group of about 8 or 10 Christian leaders in Auckland. And one of the things we talked about is, what about the Christian academics? Would it be possible to get the Christian academics to stand up and say, this is this? We also look at the Christians in the media. There's not a lot of Christians in the media, but we thought that if we get the Christians in the media to stand up, they'll be chewed up and spit out. So we said, what about the Christian academics, those that are professors and PhDs that are Christian? So I sat there and I said, so and so. They said, it's on the other, he's on the other side. I said, what about so and so? He's on the other side. What about so and so? He's on the other. I said, what's wrong with us? I said, what about this man? He said, he's on the other side. I said, that man's father will turn in his grave if he knows what his son is doing. These are Christian academics. I said, I study so that I can stand on a platform and tell them they're stupid. I did a paper on sexuality, and you will be amazed at the Christians who believe in same-sex. Now, they call themselves Christians. Hello? I mean, you wonder if they ever read the Bible. Let me just be a. Is it all right? When you're studying a degree in the Bible, you actually don't study the Bible. You study what every other person that has a degree says about the Bible. You take all their thoughts and you dissect it. You're actually not allowed to quote the Bible in a Bible degree. You're not. Is that right, Andrew? You're not allowed to. You can quote everybody else that has quoted the Bible, but you can't quote the Bible. If you quote the Bible, they'll mark you down. And this is a degree in theology. Are you all right? So if you want to go to a real good Bible school, go to Faith Bible School in Tauranga, or come to our Bible school, Faith City Church. I didn't know we have a Bible school every Sunday morning. Are you all right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just learn something today, eh? Praise God. Hallelujah. How much time have I got? I've got half an hour. Let's do something different. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Let's pray for some people. What do you think? Is that all right? Who wants prayer? Well, come up here, we'll pray for you. I remember we have a pastor's meeting every Monday. And I remember when Dennis and Carol were here, and we normally talk about the Sunday meeting and see what we can do best and better and improve on, or see something that has happened that we could have done. And I asked the question, so how did yesterday go? And Dennis Isaac said, something happened yesterday that I've never seen happen before. And I was really embarrassed. I said, what happened yesterday? He said, you actually prayed for somebody. And that was after 4 years of Dennis and Carol being here. I said, you've never seen me minister at the altar? He said, no. And we've been here 4 years. I said, that's embarrassing. Because normally I'll just do the altar call and the altar workers come and pray for them. And so I said to her, I said to him, that's not good. I'll try and pray a little bit more for people. Now, when I pray for people, I don't pray for long. Right? If I pray for people, I'll probably do a faster job than all the prayers in the front put together. All right? I just pray. Hallelujah. It's not how long the prayer is or how short the prayer is. It's when you connect. One of the things we shared last week is the Bible says the trying of your faith produces patience, and patience experience hope. Hope does not make you ashamed, because the love of God is shared abroad your heart, my heart, by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You got that? And many times our experience is not good. Our experience disappoints us, and our experience actually shames us. And yet the Bible says the trying of your faith produces patience. When patience has done its work, you'll be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And the reason you are patient in trials is so that at the end of the trial, you will experience something. Many people leave before they experience it. Their disappointment increases because they come, and I've seen them. I've seen them stand at these altars, and I see them, you know, go. You know, it's like a Eli looking at Hannah, and Hannah is, and the man said, "You're drunk. Get out of here." And she said, "I'm not drunk. My heart is overwhelmed." Why did God delay answering the prayer of that woman when the Bible says that woman was a godly woman? And her husband had another love. Her name was Penina. Penina had children, yet Penina, if you study it, was a hard woman. Hannah was a very tender, godly woman, and yet this Penina had all the children, and the babysitter was Hannah. Hannah, who longed for a child, not getting any, and having to be babysit this hard woman's children, and contending for the love of one man. How many loves have you got? Why did God take a long time to answer this woman's prayer? The Bible says God closed her womb. How can God close the womb of a godly woman and open the womb of an ungodly woman in that sense? And yet God did. She wanted a child, she wanted an heir, and then in the end she changed her prayer. She said, "Whatever you give me, I will give back to you. It's not for me. Ultimately, it's not going to be for me. Ultimately, it's going to be for you. What you give to me, I will give back to you." And when she stood her grounds, the priest said to her, "Go home. May the God of Israel hear your heart." And when Samuel was born, hallelujah, she had an experience. She stood with patience the test she was going through until she experienced. And that experience gave her hope. And that hope did not make her ashamed, because she understood the love of God shed abroad her heart by the Holy Ghost. So many times, our experiences are botched. What we ask God for, we don't seem to experience, because sometimes we don't have the patience. Other times, we leave God before He actually answers the prayer. Now, when the Spirit of God falls, open up heaven's doors. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God does not fall on chairs. The Spirit of God falls on people. And if God falls and there's no one there, because you got ticked off and you left. Many people say, "I go to church." Well, many people go to church, never encountered God, so they never actually experience the reality of the presence of God. And sometimes you get disappointed with life. If you want to be disappointed, just live. I remember many years back, it was Christmas Day. We were so poor. And I was the pastor. I was the shepherd of the church. Preach on faith just about every Sunday. I've got a million messages, a million sermons, but one message. I've only got one message. It's faith. I preach 1,000 sermons, but I've only got one message. It's a message God gave me. But that's the way I live. So here am I, pastoring the church. It was Christmas Day, and I preach. It was great, great service. And everybody going home to have their Christmas lunch. My wife and I were packing our car. We were going to Auckland to speak. And we were so poor, I couldn't even afford a Christmas card, a $2 card for my wife. One of the single parents in the church said, we went shopping in Palmerston North. We had good shopping. We spent $200. I got all the Christmas presents. I didn't even have a Christmas present. I didn't even have a card. I didn't even have Christmas lunch. The only reason there was gas in the car was because we had an account with the local gas station and we charged the petrol to fill the car. So here they were going to their homes to have Christmas lunch, and here we were packing our car to go to speak. And I was walking in and out and carrying the stuff and put them in the boot of the car, and I was crying. And not only that, it was beginning to drizzle, you know. And I said in my heart, I said, this is not fair. The whole church going home to eat and I can't eat my wife. This is not fair. I said that in my... I don't think I was brave enough to say that out loud to God. This is not fair. Just put the stuff in. Get inside. Get some other stuff. Our clothes put in the car. Hop in the car to drive away. And one of the parishioners, he could have been an angel, I don't know, but they came in and dropped a card into the front seat of the car. You know those cars with a long seat? No bucket seat, the long one. And when I'm driving in the middle of the night, my wife will just lie on my lap and I drive. And when I want to talk to somebody and she's still asleep, I will run over a bump. She said, what was that? I said, how are you? And she said, what's that? I said, don't look like a card. So she opened it. And there was $60 in it. I thought God has given me the whole earth. $60. I said, thank you, Lord. So now we had to look for a shop that was open on Christmas Day so I could buy my wife something to eat. We went right through Tahap and nothing was open. We went through Wairua, and just right at towards the end there, before you tee off to go to Owakuna, there was a burger shop open, and we stopped there. I bought my wife a burger. I bought me a burger. We drove up just past Wairua, turned to the left of the road, and gave God thanks for Christmas lunch. It was the best burger I've ever had, and I ate it with tears of gratitude. Have you eaten with tears of gratitude? And just 2 days ago, I was sitting in Mangaweka with my family. There's a lot of food on the table, and I started to eat, and I cried. My wife knew what I was doing, and I told the kids yesterday, when we had devotion yesterday, I led devotion from Psalm 16. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance. I have a goodly inheritance. Lines have fallen to me, pleasant places. I said, I remember sitting at the table yesterday and just eating and so much food. And I remember when we didn't have anything. And I said to God, this is not fair. I've been young. Now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And our experience many times, it's not good. And there are two things that I was going to share with you last Sunday. You remember that? Did I say that? There are two things that happen to us, and it's because our experience has not been all that good, because we ask God for something and it seems like he locked up shop and went for a holiday in Taupo. Forget that we live in Whanganui. Are you okay? Hallelujah. And one of those things is skepticism. You have become skeptic towards God because of your experience in the past. and you're actually thinking, is it going to be the same? Or is he going to answer? And instead of trusting God with faith and trusting God that he is wise and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, we become skeptic. How many people here can say that's true? And sometimes the skepticism is subliminal. You're not conscious of it, but it's still there. And you know, if it doesn't answer prayer, you say, well, I didn't think he would. Why? Because in the past, he didn't seem to have answered your prayer. And many times, it's because we are impatient to experience. And we forget the miracle power of God. Hallelujah. We forget he doesn't change. So the first miracle, the first sign that we shared last week about Jesus turning water into wine, many people want their water to be turned into wine and they miss the first miracle because the first miracle is not the wine. The first miracle is the water. And we are so concerned about the wine, we forget to fill up the water pots. If you don't fill the water pots, there won't be any wine. The greatest miracle, hallelujah, there are two miracles there, but the first one is not the wine, the first one is the water. Faith without action is dead. You don't earn a miracle, but there is part of what you're supposed to do that is contributed to the miracle. God did not choose the stones. David did. And David chose the stone from the brook. He could have chosen stones from the mountain, but he chose them from the brook. The first miracle is the water. You know, water covers more of the earth that you live in than anything else. Your body is more water than anything else. If you drink water, you can go without wine, but you can't go without water. You need water, and if you don't have water, you can't live. Because why? Because water is the miracle. It's a primary miracle. And if there's no water, there's no wine. And many times, we miss the miracle because we are looking for something so dynamic at times, and there are times when it is dynamic, and forget that sometimes it's the very thing that's right there. Have you ever thanked God this morning that you actually had a drink? We shared about that a few weeks ago, about the deer. What happens when the deer dehydrates is exactly the same thing that happens to you. When the deer dehydrates, he can't see properly. Your vision is impaired without water. Your muscle mass, they ache. You can't walk properly without water. And you're supposed to walk by faith, not limp along. And the greatest miracle is the primary miracle, is the miracle of water. What is this? Water. When you constantly fill your water jars with water, it may not appear miraculous, but when you need wine, the water pots are already filled. Don't come and sleep in the message. That's Pastor Eli. That's Pastor Andrew again. Oh, I know that. Well, bless your darling heart and silly head. Just keep on filling. Whatever he tells you to do, do that. And they fill them. If you are willing to fill your water jars, you'll never run out of wine. Are you okay? Let me say that again. If you're willing to fill your water jars, you'll never run out of wine. And you will not be skeptic, whether you're conscious of it or not. But subliminal skepticism can actually trip you up. But it has to do with your experience. Now, there are two things you can do. You can actually go to somebody else's experience. You can talk to somebody else and take their experience to charge your batteries, to motivate you to believe God for yours. Angel came, said to Mary, "Can I have a child?" Now, what do you think is going on in the mind of that virgin? She's a virgin, and the angel said, "You're not actually going to be married, you know. Without a kiss and a date, you're still going to have a baby." What do you think is going on in her head? And then the angel said something, "And your cousin Elizabeth, that Mary knows, have been praying for a baby for a long, 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 long time. Your cousin Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant." 6 months? I haven't seen her for 6 months. Where is she? She's been hiding for 5. Why do you hide for 5? Because she's old. What do you expect you to see Mrs. Solid coming along with it? Or Mrs. Lover is coming along with it? Or Mrs. Hall coming around and said, "Give me a break." Why did she hide? She's just as human as you. But the angel said, "Your cousin Elizabeth." And the first thing she did was, "I better go find out. Is it really true?" And when she went, she needed somebody else's experience to believe God for her own. Are you okay? Secondly, you need to revisit your own Ebenezer stone. You go back and find out again where you encountered God. You encountered God somewhere, and you need to go back to that place of encounter. Hallelujah. Revisit that place so that your own past experience will give you hope. Hallelujah. Have a look at John 4. And verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. He came again to where? Came again to that same place. And sometimes you need to revisit the same place you encountered God before, so that you can know. Hallelujah. You need to bring to remembrance the things God had done in your life before. Have a look at Psalm 77. Here is a man, he said, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me in the way, in the day of my trouble. I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Then he says, has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? He's reaching out to God, and God seems to be unfound. And then he said, and I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Sometimes you need to revisit your own past experience to judge your heart afresh, to believe God for what is next.